Well, you know, when an opportunity comes, these old preachers don't know when to say no. And it is always a thrill and a pleasure to be with you. Wednesday evening, somebody asked me if I was going to cover Psalm of Ascent, you know, because I had been doing several of those. And I had to disappoint her by saying, no, I wasn't going to do that. But I did do one verse out of Psalm 119. As I'd been studying the Psalms of Ascent, I kept realizing more and more that we couldn't start from the beginning of those. We had to start from the beginning of book 5. Had somebody ever ask you, how many books are there in the Bible? How many are there? 70. Because there are 5 books in the Psalms. From the beginning of book 5, as you're reading, eventually you come to the Psalms of Ascent, going up to Jerusalem for worship. But we can't forget those that come before in preparation. I've never heard a sermon that did all of Psalm 119. I have never even heard any theological seminar that covered all of Psalm 119. I'm getting more and more where I'm determined I'm going to study the whole thing carefully. I'm going to look at each section carefully and see how the themes develop, how they grow within that psalm. All of you know, I'm sure, that Psalm 119 is an acrostic. Each section of 8 verses starts with one Hebrew letter. Each of the 8 verses in each stanza, you can say, is one Hebrew letter. It goes Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and so forth, through the whole Hebrew alphabet. 105 through 112 has especially spoken to me, especially touched my heart. Now, in your Bible, as you open it, it may just have some chicken scratching, the Hebrew letter nun, which corresponds with our N sound. So that each of the verses starts with that letter. So let us read Psalm 119, 105 through 112, noon. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are in your presence to worship your holy name, but also to hear you talk to us. We do thank you for giving us your word, which directs us in our ways. Thank you that you have given so many different words to explain what you are telling us. Precepts, commandments, rules, and others. We do ask you now to open our hearts that we may receive your spirit and receive understanding from what you have given us. And may the meditations of our hearts, the words of my mouth, be acceptable unto thee, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Often we talk about life as a journey that we're passing through and going on. A day like today, too, if you notice, there were certain holes in the congregation. The normal spots where some people sit were empty today because it's summer, A lot of people have taken summer vacation and have gone to relax or have gone to visit relatives or friends. Of course, this weekend is Father's Day, and so some have gone either to honor their fathers or be honored by their children somewhere else. But we go on a journey. And this describes our journey. And the first part of our journey is we want to stay on the right road. Or actually, we want to get on the right road. We've been talking about the Delcho and Nina and Victor are coming here to share with us what the Lord's doing in them and through them in Bulgaria. And I agreed to go and pick them up at the Nashville airport. Now that doesn't sound like much. I've never been to the Nashville airport. I had an idea generally where it was, but that was it. So I opened the old-fashioned thing called an atlas, you know, the paper pages and all that. I opened that and looked, and it showed me where it was, but it really didn't show me how to get to it. And so then, of course, I got a little more modern and went to Google Maps, and just to not to push one program over it, I went to MapQuest, too, just to see, can I get on the right road? And how do I get on the right road? Of course, when this psalm was penned, they may have had maps. They probably didn't draw it out in paper. But I've even saw people, you know, writing in the dust to show the way, you know. Or, of course, if you ask some people, how do I get so-and-so? The answer is, you can't get there from here. Well, you can, but it's a long way around. Of course, there's that one man that had a flat tire out in the country. And he stopped at a farmer's and said, how far is it to the next town? And the farmer said, oh, 5 miles as the crow flies. But how far is it if the crow has to walk and roll a flat tire? We need to find the right road. And that's how this psalm starts out. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. Have you ever seen a movie where, usually Westerns, you know, they're in a mine and they're carrying the lanterns trying to see their way? Or they could be at a campground, you know, camping out, the cows are lowing in the background on a trail drive or something. And they're sitting there and looking into the fire. And if they have to go out, they might pick up the lantern and carry it. Have you ever thought how silly that is? There are some doctors in here. What happens if you're holding a light up here? Or you're looking into the campfire? You're blinded. You can't see. So where do you need the light? You need it at your feet. If you've ever been camping, of course you have a flashlight now, or you use your phone. You hold it down so you don't trip over the logs. So you don't trip over a rock. Or the one commercial, he steps off and falls all the way down into fire through a tent and into water and all this stuff. That is God's word. That is how God maps things out for us. He gives us a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. He enables us to travel, to walk along life. We can't do it without that. We can't find our way without that. And it's much more trustworthy than our GPS. Have you ever been driving along using a GPS, and it says, turn left. So you turn left. And the next thing it says is, recalculating, but you told me to turn left! We can't depend on our GPS. We really can't depend on maps because every cartographer has some changes on the map. So they could see if you've copied it and violated the copyright laws. But God's Word doesn't change. God's Word is true. It leads us along the path we need to go. And so we can take God's Word. We can take the Bible and open it up and see where we're going and how to go. Then we can plan our route. According to Google and MapQuest, it showed me a route I wouldn't have thought of to go to the Nashville airport. It said take Highway 43 to Highway 64 and then over. I thought of going to Decatur and catching 65 up, or taking 43 all the way up and then catching 65. But it said this way's faster. We get to plan our routes. But we have to be dedicated to those routes. What does it say? I have sworn an oath and confirmed it. I have said, I am going to follow this map. I'm going to follow this road. And I will not forget it. It's easy to remember 43 and 64 and then 65. It's easy to remember that. We want to remember God's Word. And we want to confirm it in our hearts regularly. I'm sure I'll be checking those maps several times between now and the 29th when the Atanasoffs come. Just to be sure that I can remember it. But how much do we take an oath to confirm God's Word? And it goes on and says, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I don't know if you realize or if you've ever read that in Psalm 119, there are 8 different Hebrew words that describe the Scriptures. This psalm has 6 of them, but it repeats 2 of them twice. Word twice and righteous rules twice. In order to find our way through life, with all its ups and downs, with all the traffic that goes around us, and nowadays all the distracted drivers who are texting or checking for the map to see where they're supposed to be going. We need to look more and more at those rules. We need to plan our route through life. And I hope that each and every one of us does that daily. In a formal time, reading God's Word, talking with Him about what is laid out for the day, or if you prefer in the evening, what He has done and what is planned for the next day. We need to be on the right road. And it's only the Bible that will put us on the right path. But on the way, in the second part, we encounter detours. I was growing up when the interstate highway system was being built. Now, some of you can't imagine that. You know, that it has always been built for some of you. Of course, nowadays it needs to be rebuilt in many cases. But we would travel from California to Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota to visit relatives. And we'd often come to detours, to construction zones. Except we called them constriction zones because they constrict the traffic so much you'd stop and you wouldn't move. That is often how life treats us. We have afflictions, troubles that come in to our lives. And we know that. Hopefully most of you attend the Wednesday evening prayer. And if you don't, you need to do it. But every Wednesday evening we have a list. 2 pages, 2 sides of 1 page. Giving prayer concerns. And the side that most people do is the back side. Prayer for those within the church. And prayer for friends and families. There are several names on that list. They are afflicted, usually, by health problems. Some of you are young yet and don't appreciate it. But as we get older, our bodies fall apart. I don't know if you've ever read the book, Things Fall Apart. That's about Africa. The changes in the social life in Africa. But our bodies fall apart. We get more and more afflictions just coming from within our own bodies. But there are others who have sicknesses that come from outside. Those are the afflictions. And so often, it is difficult to put up with them. And actually, most of the time, the difficulty is the caregiver has to help. The sick one often is the better witness to God than the one who is giving the care to the sick one. But we face those things. And what are our options when we face those? So often we complain, don't we? Oh, yeah, I wish I could work all day. But I do in the morning and afternoon, I'm wasted. Oh, I wish I could do this again. Oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, why did God let this happen to me? That often is used to detour us from the trip. But it also talks about snares. In verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me. I don't know if any of you have ever done much hunting or trapping. Snares are very simple and very effective. They grab hold and don't let go. We in this country haven't had too many out and out snares of enemies attacking. Not like in North Korea, China, the Muslim countries, where there are direct attacks. But the snares of the devil are well hidden. We can't see them often. We're not prepared for them. And so we step into them. And that slows us down. It sometimes almost stops us cold. Those are details of the detours as we go through the construction zone. But there are paths through the construction zone. As you're driving along, you can see detour signs. Of course, sometimes you follow that sign and they forgot to put the other one up, or somebody stole it or something like that. You keep going when it's supposed to turn. But we go through the construction zone. What is our construction zone? It is our life. We're constantly constructing our lives. According to what? According to the map. According to the plan that God has given us. When we fall into these snares, or when we have afflictions, that's the opportunity we have to be able to grow in faith and dependence on the Lord. Life itself is a challenge. Life itself can be an opportunity, but we can also get lost in it. But as we go through life, as we see how God has our lives planned out for us, then we can give free will offerings. We want to present to Him voluntarily what He has given to us. How many times have you heard at offering time, we're not just giving money, we're dedicating our lives to Christ. For He has given us everything we have. And when we're giving all of that, then another way that gets us through the construction zone of life is praise. We want to direct everything to give Him praise. But also, we learn. We never learn everything we need to know in this life. How many times, especially some of us older ones, how many times have we said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask this. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask that. Well, I don't know if we're going to ask, but we probably won't have to ask. Because if we need it, we will know it. We will be able to handle whatever comes along. Because He has given us His rules. He has given us His word. He has given us His law. That is how we handle the detours. With His rules. With His word. With His law. And that is what guides us. And lastly, we are given the destination. Now you may think that's strange. We are given the destination. Why are we given that? In a journey, if we've planned our map right, the destination is spelled out. On the 29th, I am going to the Birmingham airport, if the Lord allows. I know what my destination is. And after I go there, then I come back and go to the Griffiths house. Because that's where the Atanasoffs are going to be staying. And then I go there and come back home. We know our destination. But in life, we are given that destination. It may seem strange. We, on a journey, we think, we get there, boy, I've made it. I have done it. Carol traveled between Tijuana and here every spring by herself, driving 5 years at least in a row. And I'm sure when she arrived here, she'd say, "Oh, I made it." And of course, when she drove back to Tijuana, she said, "Oh, I have made it. I've arrived." But we can't do that in our lives. It has to be given to us. Verses 1:11 and 1:12 say, "Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end." Your testimonies are my heritage. It's what I have inherited. And none of us earns our inheritance. It is given to us. And in the journey through the Christian life, our inheritance is eternity with Jesus Christ. We don't earn that. Everything we do falls far short of what will glorify God. It falls far short of what will open the doors to heaven. There is only one way. We see it in the written word, but all of us knows it is the incarnate word. The word made flesh. The word who dwelt among us. That is our inheritance. The presence of Jesus in our lives. And we cannot do anything about that. It is a gift of God. And why is that? It is a gift of God so that no man can boast. None of us can say, "I have earned my salvation. I have chosen my salvation. I have decided to follow Him." Although I have to say, I like that song. "I have decided to follow Jesus." And yet, I cannot decide to follow Jesus unless He gives me His Spirit to turn my heart, to enable me to decide to follow Jesus. And when we get that inheritance of eternal life, which we have now, we claim it now. We don't have to wait for heaven. We don't have to wait for that pie in the sky by and by. We have gotten it already. It is ours. It belongs to us. And when we see that, the result is joy. We want to sing praises to God, for that is all that He has done for us. We want to sing praises to Him and glorify His holy name. Although there have been times I've preached about joy and I've said, when we're singing joyful songs, we need to sound like we're singing joyful songs. I have seen in several churches, and you know we visited one or two through our lives. 100 or 200. Anyway, we have visited quite a few. And when we're singing songs of joy, there are always some men, usually men. I have to challenge you fathers especially on this. Be joyful. Let your children, let your boys see that there is joy. Are singing, I've got joy, 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 joy down. That is not joy. When we're singing, even if we can't carry a tune in a bucket, even if you have no idea what music is, the singing, it releases your whole heart to give praises to God. And when we're singing, we shouldn't just be mesmerized by the words. We should be thinking about the words. We should be praising Him through all things. Whenever we're singing, even if it's a song we don't know, let's look at the words, enjoy the words, and sing praises to Him. We're singing that because in heaven, much of what we're going to be doing is singing to Him. I've often said, if you don't like worship service here on earth, you're definitely not going to like heaven. Actually, there have been times I thought, Randy and Greg can correct me on my theology. I've often thought the biggest torture that an unbeliever can have is to be in a worship service, right? Now, some of them will sit and bear through it. Some of them will sleep. Actually, sleeping in worship service isn't all bad. We've been trying to arrange it to get Dr. Shelton Sanford here to speak at a missions conference. We asked him for 2018. Maybe it'll be 2019. But he once told me a story. He and I attended seminary together, graduated together. And he was serving a small town in Mississippi after he graduated. And he said he would get in the pulpit and preach, and he thought he was doing a pretty good job. And one of his elders, now elders, don't do this, but one of the elders would always fall asleep and snore. And Shelton was questioning his call at that time. I'm just out of seminary and the elder would be snoring. Well, one time he did preach a pretty good sermon. And as that elder was going out, you know, it's always good sermon, preacher. Good sermon, preacher, right? But this elder, who had been snoring, came out and said, "That was a particularly good point you gave there. And then this point, boy, that was a good sermon." And Shelton said, "Let him snore." He was picking up much more in this, from the sermon than some of the people who had their eyes on him. Of course, their eyes were glassed over. But we are going to be worshiping Him eternally. If Christ comes back before He calls us to be home, then we'll be on the new earth. We will be working. We will have activities on this earth. But every activity, everything we do will be a worship service to Him. That is the destination we have. That is where we're going. But not because we have chosen the road. It's because the one who built the road is the one who enables us to go along that road. I don't think there'd be very many here who aren't Christian. Someone might think they're Christian and sitting here. But if you have not seen that you need Jesus to build your life, now is the time to turn to Him. And if you have strayed off that road, if you've let those afflictions and snares distract you from the path you're on, go to Him ask Him to put you back on the road. If you are serving Him, if you are going along, following His Word, enjoying time with Him, we're not safe yet because there are still afflictions and snares. Let us all turn to Him. Let us all look to Him so that we may praise Him forever to the end. Let us pray. O Lord God, we do thank You so much that life is a road. Life is a journey. We do thank You for Your Word that lights our path, that shows our feet how to go. We thank You for the ability to find that route. We thank You for having us confirm that You have laid out the rules of the road, as well as the rules how to get there. O Lord, we must confess that we are so easily distracted. We detour through that construction zone of life. We lose our way often. But we do ask You that You apply Your Word to our hearts so that we will be able to get back on the right road. We do thank You for the inheritance that You have given us, our destination, that we are with You now and forever. Amen.